Auditing AI, is that possible? Well, yes. If we want to have responsible AI, transparent AI, explainable AI, human-centric AI, we would need to be able to audit AI. But how do you audit AI? Is auditing AI still going to be practical, going to be feasible? Or are we going to use AI to audit AI? Well, yes, it's also possible to use AI to audit AI, but then we are out of control. So what do we do? How do we audit AI? Because auditing would be, as I said, something which will allow us to be in control of AI. Now, that's a fascinating topic, and who better than someone who has been in IT audit for more than 25 years and at the center of IT audits to ask this question and understand. I met him at an ISACA conference in Dublin, and then I thought he's a wonderful guy, has wonderful ideas. And let us bring him to the Fit for Privacy podcast. And I'm talking about none other than Stefan Prius, who is going to enlighten us with his perspective.
Hello, and welcome to the Fit for Privacy podcast with Punit Bhatia. This is the podcast for those who care about their privacy. Here, your host, Punit Bhatia, has conversations with industry leaders about their perspectives, ideas, and opinions relating to privacy, data protection, and related matters. Be aware that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are not legal advice. Let us get started.
Here we are with Stefan. Welcome, Stefan, to Fit for Privacy podcast.
Hi, Punit. Pleasure to meet you.
Same here. Let's start with an icebreaker. I mean, AI, the two alphabets, or artificial intelligence, the two words, have different meaning. And if you think of this, what's the one of a few words that come to your mind, except for these two, artificial intelligence?
For artificial intelligence? Oh, that's a good question. I don't know if you have read Hitchhiker's Guide Through Galaxy, mm-hmm. but and I have my brain is just transferring these kind of things into pictures, and I see Marvin, the disappointed robot, coming to my mind if I hear the word artificial intelligence, just to where it is connecting the artificial part and the human part, the emotional part together in one person.
Interesting. And now in this AI, the disappointment part, there are a lot of concerns, a lot of challenges, a lot of beliefs people have. And that's why in the EU, we are looking at regulating AI through the AI Act. And it's in discussions. Of course, we don't know when it'll be finalized. But what is your view on AI regulation? What does it say? And what is it in terms of direction? Is it good? Is it not good? Or what should it do more?
From my point of view, so I'm just doing IT audits since 25 years, and usually I'm a very critical person, just looking at each technology, what could be a risk coming out of this kind of technology we are using. But when I started to get in touch with artificial intelligence, I think there are so many chances, so many opportunities coming with this kind of technology, just looking on a medical perspective only, just what could it bring us in a medical way, in a healthcare way, where it could help us to develop new drugs and new things. So I have, on one hand, a very, very positive attitude regarding this technology. And with this now 1 year ago, when ChatGPT started, it was for me just a bam moment where I'm looking for. On the other side, I have the expectation that new technology, it is always a risk included in this kind of technology, and I'm very looking forward just to have a strict regulation especially regarding AI, because it is, in my opinion, not only a technology, it is something that is changing our societies. It will have a larger impact than social media platforms, for instance. And 2 days ago, I think, the 6th of December, there was a should be the final round of negotiations regarding the EU AI Act. And unfortunately, they have postponed it. And I'm not pretty sure if there will be a result in this year. So two different hearts in my breast regarding the topic.
Yeah. I think we will have the most likely that it will be a big achievement if in the current EU Parliament session, meaning before the new Parliament and the new members convene, if they can achieve to close this AI Act, that will be a big achievement. And if it doesn't, my concern is if they don't do it, the new Parliament, when it constitutes, then members will have new opinions. So do not expect then in 2024, because they will come up with new ideas, new opinions, new definitions. Then it will be in 25, not even in 24.
Yeah, that could be one way. So, but looking at the negotiations, why do they postpone the negotiations? So it was because Italy, France and Germany, they have, besides the negotiations in Brussels, they have a new position regarding foundation models, and they defined some expectations which must be fulfilled with the EU AI Act. And this was, I guess, is my opinion from far away, that this was the final reason that they can't find an agreement about the EU AI Act. And this position of Germany, France and Italy will remain also last year. It doesn't matter what kind of people we will see in the parliament next year. But I hope strictly if there's after the EU election that there will be some people in the parliament aware of this technology and able to assess it in a right way, the chances and the risk coming out of this technology. This is my hope.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I think we all hope it comes soon, but we also hope, more importantly, that it's a robust legislation, complete legislation with a lot of business friendliness, so scope for innovation, but also human aspects. So, I mean, like the typical EU regulations, which are very balanced, human-centric and business-centric. So in that order, human first and business second, not unlike some of the Silicon Valley ideas, which are business first and human later sometimes. So this AI, as we talk about artificial intelligence, it will also have an impact on the cybersecurity situation. How do you see that? Because on one hand, it can be a problem solver, because you can use it to monitor systems, monitor attacks and events and so on. But on the other hand, it's a boon for hackers, boon for people with malicious intentions. Yeah. So they're both sides, like every time, they're like it's a sword. So it's cutting edge on both sides. Yeah. And that's the issue. How do you see that?
You mentioned it before. So the both sides, both parties have a chance to use this kind of technology for their own purposes. So you could use AI in different tools just to discover patterns. This is the main skill of this kind of technology to identify difficult patterns or risky patterns in network traffic, for instance. And on the other side, it is helping also the guys on the other side, on the criminal side, just to have better skills and to develop better attack vectors, just to address phishing attacks, just to find out security flaws in software code. So for me, it is like hedgehog and rabbit, the race. Yeah, it is, who has the time and the greatest interest just to use this kind of technology in their processes or in their products. But I hope the bad guys will have better chances to use it, because it's much easier for them to use this kind of technologies. Finally, I hope I'm wrong with this. Do you have an opinion? What is your opinion to this topic, or to what kind of view do you have?
I think I have a very similar opinion. It's a double-edged sword, and it's like anything. I mean, you don't stop using electricity because it can kill people. I mean, if you hold your naked wires, you will be dead.
Yep.
Electricity in its raw form is very, very dangerous. And same for fire or any other technology. Yeah, and we have always had this fear. Internet also, there's pornography and there's all the misuse and the hackers and everything that's still possible. So there is always the greater the benefit, the greater the risk. That's how it is with the AI also. So
exactly.
So yes, we will have the negative side. It's the same thing we are talking about crypto, blockchain, and all these things. But AI is far bigger in terms of scale and in terms of benefit. It can bring in far more scalable benefits. And when it reaches the stage 6 or 7, as we say, exceeding the human capabilities, if it does, of course, because that's hypothetical, then it can bring a huge advantage for the mankind. And then we will have the real benefit. But of course, if it can bring the benefit in that sense, like exploring how the universe was constituted, where are we headed, when will the human race end and all that, or what can we do to protect, how then we, do we use it for sustainability solutions, or maybe create some artificial rains and all that using AI. I don't know. Everything is possible in magical way. But if that's possible, on the other end, somebody with a malefied intention can screw up the system. Even now, hack into the military systems and you can almost jeopardize the security of a country. So that's possible. And with AI, even more. So there are both sides, but if we use it well, and in the past, if we look at 300 years or even 2000 years, because 2000 years ago, Aristotle and Plato and everybody was talking, when the writing came in, they said, it's dangerous. It'll kill the human race because people will stop remembering and they will write. Now, that was just writing on stones or books. But that was the opinion. And after 2000 years, we are still alive. We're still in good shape and writing is helping us. Now, definitely. I don't say writing and AI are same. AI is far more advanced, far more dangerous, far more different. But still, we always had concerns and we will have concerns. But again, if stage 5, 6, 7 will come in, I don't know. But even with the stage 4, stage 5 AI that is at par with human intelligence, it can assist us in doing better, making our lives better. And already with ChatGPT, it is better.
Definitely. So everyone is using ChatGPT. I guess we can't do our work without these kind of tools currently, just for different purposes. And just to on the other side, I see ChatGPT meanwhile only as a search 2.0 technology. It's just a skill set with a broad skills to use, but it is only one way to use it, and the real advantages of AI will come in the next years or in the next years. It's not ChatGPT. For me, is it only a functional technology?
I would agree with you. And now, you are an IT auditor, if I understand well.
Yep.
That means you can look at things critically and you can look at it. How do we manage, control, or audit them? Let's put it like that. Now, based on your experience with the current situation that we are in and the situations we will encounter in future, how would somebody or how should somebody go about auditing AI? Because there's a lot of talk about how do we use it. But more importantly, if we are able to audit it, half the problem is solved.
That's a very good question, and I would say it's the same thing like in cybersecurity. It's also AI is also a technology we could use in internal audit or in IT audit, just to assess specific technological things. So just to use it for my specific purposes as an IT auditor, this is something I'm looking forward just to have this kind of technology available. But it is not ChatGPT, definitely. So because as I mentioned, it's a broad technology, and I think we need here a very high specialized, high skilled and trained AI use case, which could support us or me in my profession and you in your profession as well. But it needs your specific views, your knowledge, your know-how trained into this kind of technology. But So that's why I think ChatGPT will be not the right answer, but a highly trained AI bot or something like that will be the answer for this. So I'm very curious how it would work and just trying and playing with this kind of technology.
So do you mean to say that you will use AI to audit itself?
When you're looking how, for instance, GPT-3 and GPT-4 was trained by OpenAI, GPT-3 was trained with the help of thousands of click workers. Yeah, they tried to find the right answers. They voted, is the answer given by ChatGPT the right one on a level from 1 to 10 or something like that. And OpenAI was very smart because it used this kind of behavior and developed a specific tool, an artificial intelligence tool, which could be used as a training tool monitoring tool just to train GPT-4. So they use the same technology to interact with itself, and that's why I think it is something which could be possible as well for my profession that we have this kind of technology in usable for these kind of purposes.
So in my opinion, I think what you're saying is we need to use the collective intelligence of the human being and AI to audit AI. Is that?
This would be one answer, one possible answer. Mm-hmm. And the major question coming from this assumption you just mentioned before is, what is our task then in this game? So when they both are interacting, is a human still in the loop or on the loop? That would be a very interesting question to answer. And we both couldn't answer it now.
Yeah, we cannot. But if the human is out of loop, then we are out of control.
Then we are out of control. That's why. And then we come to an ethical part where we have to ask the questions, is it something what we would like to have? Or is it something we would strictly avoid? This is a discussion. This kind of discussion is not finalized yet.
Yeah, and that goes back to our earlier discussion on the AI Act. Mm-hmm. That's what the AI exactly. Act is trying to bring. It is trying to bring a perspective saying, one, the AI is explainable so that you can explain what it does. So we remain in control. Second, it's auditable, that you can go and check what it is doing. And third, it's transparent also. So it's not doing all the things by itself and giving the result. It's also on the way, in the way, kind of taking you along as a partner, as an assistant, so as a peer. So I would think in the audit world, what you're suggesting, AI would be my assistant to assess the AI, because I have limited thinking as a human being, while AI can think. So I say, hey, I want to audit this, give me some ideas, and I say, no, explore on this and that. But I still make my own judgment as an auditor.
Exactly. That's a possible way, but I'm a bit worried about do we have in an audit profession, do we have the skill set available? And currently what I see in especially here in Switzerland, and this is very difficult to find this the mindset, the skill set to audit this kind of technology, and just you have to play with it and to train it, and everyone is still waiting and looking what happens when the regulation is coming, then we will be ready. But I'm pretty sure no, we are not,
we're certainly not. But I think the way it works is we were not ready for internet in 90s. Then we were not ready for the 2000, the switch, 99 to 2000. But it happened. The sun still came and it was all fine. There were few issues and it's the same.
Yeah. But looking at the time when the internet started in 19, I guess for me it was the first in 1996, and look at the time we had just to get in touch with the technology, just to be used to it and to find out how it works. And look at the pace we had from this 1 year when ChatGPT was released until now, what happened, this incredible speed this technology is showing. I'm not pretty sure that we will have the time to do so, like you are saying.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, I'm banking on the other aspect. Okay. We as humans have adapted in last whatever number of millions of years we see, and adapt. The technology or the world has been ahead of us always.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the corona, it hit us like anything. We needed to shut ourselves, almost shut the countries down. We needed to do something which we didn't do for 100 years, or at least in our lifetimes. It was difficult psychologically, emotionally, and everything, but we survived. And now if you ask somebody, there was corona time and we were sitting at home, we couldn't go out, and we needed to wear masks, and we needed to only go for groceries. It seems crazy, but we adapted then, and almost for 1.5 years. So I have big faith in the human adaptability and human sustenance and resilience. But we don't know. And again, the challenge, this one is not any other challenge. So let's also be clear. It's one of the different ones. But again, corona was very different, and every time it has to be different. Now, all this, while we look at the auditing aspect of it, there also is the privacy element of it. How do you see, how will privacy shape up in the world of AI?
This is a great question, and it's so difficult to answer on this question. So if I would like to start, I don't know if you are familiar with the current copyright lawsuits we have against all the foundation model providers. So they are each provider, like OpenAI, Microsoft, Google, Stability AI, everyone is facing copyright challenges. There's one exception, is Adobe. So they, because they have their own data to train their model, but everyone else is facing these kind of lawsuits. And I'm very curious what will happen, what will be the result of this kind of lawsuit. So a couple of weeks, I said ChatGPT is dead. If one of these lawsuits is coming to a conclusion that it was illegal to use the data for the copyright protected data for ChatGPT, and this will be very interesting to see how this is going on. And then the second part you mentioned is the personal data, the data we making us as a human, or describing us as a human. And there you could see the impact of the European data protection law. This is so interesting to see when you're looking to the states. Yeah, there are new laws on each federal level. Each state has its own data privacy level, and there's so much upcoming to regulate the use of privacy data. So there's so much ongoing, and I think this is something where the European regulation was very helpful, just to transfer this kind of critical thinking and protecting data into the world. It will be very interesting to see what will it be, or what is the impact in the technology of AI. So could we use this kind of data as well for these purposes? And I don't have a final opinion to this, but I guess there we are better prepared regarding privacy regulation than AI regulation. So that's why I have still concerns about this, but I have a feeling, the gut feeling, that we are better prepared in this field.
I would certainly agree with that. In the GDPR sense, we are certainly prepared, and at least following GDPR, many other countries have formulated a law. Now, when the AI Act comes in, I'm very sure many other countries are going to copy it and make it their own AI regulation sooner than later. But
sorry for interrupting you. This is very interesting from a Swiss perspective, because the Swiss is very EU critical. They don't want to have the contracts and don't want to be close to the European Union. But there was on a governmental level last week a very interesting information, because they mentioned, we were looking at the European Union, and we will take over this kind of regulation as well for Switzerland. And this was the first time I heard this in Switzerland. So very interesting aspect.
Yeah, that way, if we look at it, the UK has taken a different stance. They say we're not going to regulate it. Rather, they've established what we call the AI Safety Institute. So it is going to look at or evaluate, and I don't know how will they, because they will probably need to formulate some guidelines saying you must come to the Safety Institute for evaluating safety, which is in essence a regulation approach or a rules approach. But they are going the other way. First set the regulator and then the regulation, if I may call it like that.
Yeah.
But it's nobody knows, as you said earlier.
Yeah.
We are not ready, but we are all doing our things to be in control, because we do realize the gravity and of the challenge that we have in front of us. And it's going to be some fascinating 3 to 5 years, in my opinion. Who knows? There is a regulation which says, like you say, copyright data cannot be used by AI, or ChatGPT usage is legal or illegal, or whatever happens, or something else happens. But something will happen, and it'll be an interesting times to share. Now, in view of this conversation, if someone wants to say, I want to talk to Stefan, and I want to talk to him, so what can they talk to you about or contact you for, and how can they contact you?
So you could definitely find me on LinkedIn, where I'm writing regularly articles about AI regulation and new developments of the technology. So, but now after our conversations, because I'm writing most in German, so I have to switch to English, or you could use translation functionality of LinkedIn as well. But this is the main where you could meet mostly. And on the other side, we both met in Dublin at the ISACRI event. So was very happy to have you in my presentation as well, and to meet you there and to listen to you. And so I'm definitely in the next events as a presenter or as a participant available, just to, if there is a conversation or a question, we could talk about it. I would be more than glad to do so.
I think I liked your presentation about how to audit AI. And if I have an opportunity anytime in a conference, or we need a person to talk about it, you'll be certainly on that topic for sure. So with that, I think, Stefan, it has been a wonderful conversation, and thank you so much for sharing your time.
It was a great pleasure from my side to talk to you and to listen to your view to these kind of topics, because I think we need this kind of discussion a lot more. So thank you very much for giving me the opportunity here.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks for listening. If you liked the show, feel free to share it with a friend and write a review. If you have already done so, thank you so much. And if you did not like the show, don't bother and forget about it. Take care and stay safe. Fit for Privacy helps you to create a culture of privacy and manage risks by creating, defining, and implementing a privacy strategy that includes delivering scenario-based training for your staff. We also help those who are looking to get certified in CIPPE, CIPM, and CIPT through on-demand courses that help you prepare and practice for certification exam. Want to know more? Visit www.fitforprivacy.com. That's www.fit4privacy.com. If you have questions or suggestions, drop an email at hello@fitforprivacy.com. Until next time, goodbye.